Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is taking us on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the book of Genesis. And coming up, we're seeing that the world leading to the flood looks very similar to the world we live in today. So let's turn to the book of Genesis chapter 6 as we go back to basics.
Look back in verse 3. Then the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh." You see, it seems like what's happening here is through this union with spiritual beings somehow, man is trying to, in a sense, sort of break out of that realm of the flesh. And perhaps it was still lodged in the mind of man, the lie that Satan had told to Eve in the very beginning, that if she partook of that fruit, she would not die, but rather she would be like God. And again, a commentator said this, and I thought it was interesting. He said, "It seems that God is concerned at this point, not with depravity, which verse 5 will introduce, but with presumption." This was a theme of chapter 3, verse 5. "You shall be as gods." And again, in chapter 3, verse 22, the prohibition of man eating the tree of life, lest he live forever. He goes on and says, it recurs in 11:4 with the idea of building a tower reaching unto heaven. And the present episode could well belong to the series as an attempt. Now listen, this is the key. The series as an attempt, this time on angelic initiative, to bring supernatural power or even immortality illicitly to the earth. So it's a very interesting insight, I thought, that this commentator had, that the demons are initiating this program to give human beings supernatural power and perhaps to help them to, apart from God, in some way attain to immortality. It's an interesting idea. And I think that today there are things going on in our world that surprisingly are similar kinds of things that I think in a process of time will ultimately be shown to definitely have demonic origins. So, this is the situation. Fallen angels are cohabitating with human women, and their offspring are these men of renown, these half-human, half-divine types of beings, so to speak. And so that's the first thing that we see that's going on, and undoubtedly that is the most significant factor, I believe, in the judgment that comes. But you would also have to say, understanding that another thing that was occurring in the context of that was a deep, deep sexual perversion, a demonically influenced sexual activity. So these are the kinds of things that were happening on the earth in those days. As we go on and again just look back at the text there, another thing we note is that lawlessness and wickedness was the rule of society. It wasn't the exception. It was the rule. Lawlessness, wickedness dominated the society. It dominated the lives of virtually everyone on the planet at that time. And on two occasions, notice we are told that the earth, because of corrupted man, is filled with violence. So this is the picture. The picture is a world that's given over to the occult, a world that's given over to humans and demons trafficking together, a world that's given over to sexual perversion, a world that is utterly and totally lawless, and a world that is filled with violence. That's the world at the time that God pronounces this judgment upon it. And so in verse 14, the Lord says to Moses, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you. And you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Now, I want to go back to what we were talking about a moment ago, but I want to move it from the days of Noah to our present situation. Because remember, Jesus said in Matthew 24:37, he said, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So Jesus told us that there would be great similarities between the things that were going on in the days of Noah and the things that would be going on when the Son of Man returned. He also told us in that same context that there would be great similarities between what was going on with Lot and with what was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah at the time. And I don't think I have to convince anybody. As we look around us today, there are many, many parallels in our own culture to the things that we have just read about. But again, looking at those things that were transpiring back then, first of all, remember, there was a population explosion. And we have experienced a population explosion. The population of the world is pushing 7 billion presently. But you know what is very interesting to me is that in recorded history, the population of the earth did not reach 1 billion until 1860. So in all of recorded history, as far as we know, there were never a billion people on the planet until 1860. But in just 120 years, from 1860 to 1980, the population grew to 5 billion. And from 1980 to the late 90s, it grew to 6 billion. And now we are, as I said, we're pushing a population here on the earth of close to 7 billion people. So if you think of it in those terms, you might also think that we are experiencing that sort of a thing, a population explosion, as it said there in Genesis 6, when men began to multiply on the earth. So we are seeing that. We are experiencing that. We are also experiencing increased demonic activity. Now, of course, we who have lived in a culture that has been greatly influenced by the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we've lived in a culture that has been what we would call a Christianized culture. Because of that, Satan has certainly been at work the whole time, but his work has been a little more subtle. It's not so blatant. It's not so obvious. One of the things I love to do are read missionary biographies. And, you know, as you start reading the stories of missionaries who have gone out into, different parts of the world that have never really had a strong Christian influence, you find that they are frequently encountering demonic activity, even to the point of encountering demon-possessed people. But we haven't had that so much. But I think it's quite obvious that as time passes and as the Christian influence wanes in our culture, that there is an increase in the demonic activity. There is a widened interest today in the occult and in the idea of supernatural power. And we see this interest in lots of different areas of society. But, you know, one of the places that we see it really coming through is in a lot of the literature and a lot of the films that are being made today. There is a glorifying of the occult. There's a glorifying of, you know, ideas that would be very contrary to the biblical picture of, supernatural things that are related to God. There's a glorifying of things that are supernatural, but they're obviously connected to Satan. And we see it in many of the things that the literature that's being written and the movies and so forth that are being produced for children. You know, almost every cartoon today, you know, you can hardly find anything today like when many of us were kids, where you've got, you know, Bugs Bunny or Donald Duck or the Roadrunner, whoever you want. You take the time to watch cartoons today, it's all about some mystical kind of thing. It's all about kids tapping into some supernatural force. It's about them harnessing supernatural power to save the planet or, you know, to do whatever else they're going to do with that. And, you know, they've got, generally speaking, there's an avatar or some sort of a guru or, you know, someone that the children in the cartoon are looking to attain knowledge, secret knowledge. And, you know, this is Saturday morning cartoons these days. And you see it with things like that. I think the whole Harry Potter thing certainly is another manifestation of that, where there's an attempt to normalize these kinds of things and to introduce people into these kinds of things where you can learn to cast spells and things of that nature. And again, they're wanting to make this kind of thing commonplace. I remember a couple of years ago I was visiting England, and I was over in an area nearby where we used to live, and there's a big shopping area there and a big department store, you know, much like some of our department stores down at South Coast Plaza. And in a couple of the department stores, it was just Harry Potter mania. I mean, it was, you know, every imaginable kind of thing, from clothing to lunch pails to, little books that you could take and you could learn to cast your own spells and things like this. And just, you know, right there and available and being promoted. And, you know, it's a desensitizing that's going on. And it is a way of introducing a younger generation and familiarizing a younger generation with occultic ideas. But then we see it coming through in a lot of the movies that are being made today. I think probably the best example I could give is in the X-Men films. This is the kind of thing where there's a supernatural power. And I don't watch a whole lot of movies, but, you know, when you go to the movies and you're there to see whatever you're going to see, you got to sit through 25 previews of coming attractions, you know. And I always marvel as I'm sitting there at the films that are coming out. And the vast majority of them are, you know, portraying some person or some group of people with supernatural power, and, you know, they can do anything imaginable. And of course, you know, we've got the Marvel heroes with Spider-Man, and we've got Iron Man, and we've got the Hulk, and, you know, we've got all of these different guys. But, you know, I mean, this is like dominating the screen these days, these types of movies, and it's presenting man. It's, you know, it kind of goes back to the quote that I gave earlier. You know, it's presenting man as this invincible, all-powerful, immortal kind of a creature who's in contact with the spirit world and interacting with the spirit world and receiving instruction and direction and all of that. You know what all of this is? All of this is ultimately, I believe, it's a conditioning. It's a conditioning to make this kind of thing normal and ultimately to make it totally acceptable. And as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be when the Son of Man returns. If what we just read and the way we just interpreted it is actually the case, then what is that telling us? It's telling us essentially that that's going to be repeated again in history. And I think we're moving more and more and more in that direction. And as a matter of fact, you know, the Antichrist himself, you remember back in the judgment that was pronounced upon the serpent, you remember God referred to the seed of the serpent. God declared that the seed of the woman will crush the head of the seed of the serpent. So the serpent has a seed, and of course, the one that we commonly call the Antichrist will be the full manifestation of all of this. But all of that to say, we're living in a time when there is increased demonic activity. Now, I'm not personally paranoid about any of this stuff. I'm not panicking over this. I'm just drawing attention to the fact that this is the world that we're living in. This kind of stuff is going on. Of course, we've seen over the past 30 years or so, we've seen the New Age movement flourish and blossom throughout our Western culture. We have seen the rise of neo-paganism. And, you know, where at one time, some years ago, you know, of course, as you teach for years and you preach and, you know, you think back to times when you would refer to something and very few people would know at that point what you were talking about. But, you know, as time goes on, it just becomes commonplace. And we're back to a place where paganism is a relatively common thing now. And, you know, you'll meet people just as you go out and about your business, you'll meet people. And I've met a couple of people that have just flat out told me, oh, well, I'm a neo-pagan. So there's a resurgence of these kinds of things happening today, and there is a massive resurgence of drug activity in our culture today. Massive resurgence. Now, I was a teenager in the early 70s. From 1970 on, I was a teenager, and that was a time when, as many of you know who lived through that time, that was a time, you know, following the whole cultural revolution of the 60s, drugs were very, very prevalent in the culture during the late 60s and all through the 70s. But it seemed to me that there was a point where it sort of subsided. Not totally or completely ever, but it did seem to subside. Maybe it was because I got saved and I was so far removed I didn't pay much attention to it anymore. But, you know, being in the ministry and pastoring, I certainly had encounters occasionally with people. And I remember, you know, through the 80s, crystal meth was sort of the big thing, and crack and things like that. But, you know, now we're finding again, you know, LSD and heroin and things like this are just becoming, once again, very prevalent in our culture and are being used frequently by young people today. And here's the point. Those things all have a demonic origin. Because when the Bible speaks of sorcery or witchcraft, it translates from the Greek word pharmakia. And it doesn't take a genius to figure out what other words come from the Greek word pharmakia. It's the root word for pharmaceutical. And the reason it's translated witchcraft or sorcery is because all throughout history, potions and herbs and things like that have been used in sorcery and in witchcraft, which are the ancient equivalent of what we know today as drugs. So we are seeing right before our eyes today, we're seeing an increase in demonic activity. And of course, I will not belabor this point. It's so obvious. But sexual perversion is just out of control. It's out of control, but listen, as out of control as it is around us today, it is still relatively mild here compared to other parts of the world. If you've ever traveled in Northern Europe, or Southern Europe for that matter, and, you know, throughout the Orient and places like that, you know, it's just unbelievable. Man has always been sexually perverted. And again, as we're seeing the fading away of the Christian veneer over the culture, we're seeing the reemergence of a pagan sexuality, which is anything goes kind of sexuality. As you probably know, billions of dollars are spent annually on pornography, pornographic material. As you well know, adultery and fornication have been completely normalized in our culture. I mean, people don't think twice today about, you know, living with another person, having premarital relations or extramarital relations. It's just, it's been accepted as normal. And of course, we all know from recent activity that there is a massive effort to impose homosexuality on the culture through legislation and indoctrination. We're seeing that all around us today.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more spiritual insights from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called The Days of Noah, and the resource number is B0020. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together.
Our God, you reign forever.
Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.